Let's read this evening's scripture from Isaiah 43. But before I do, I just want you to imagine this, that you're in a place in your life where you've been displaced from your home, and you've had to move far away, and you're longing to go home, but you wonder if it ever will be possible. Circumstances conspired in your life to make that happen, and you also know that your own failures and faults made that happen. And there you are, waiting and wondering, do I have the possibility to have a future? And then these words come to you. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send to Babylon and break down all the bars, and the shouting of the Chaldeans will be turned to lamentation. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert for you. Amen. How would you receive those words if you were in that place? Because the Israelites were in that place. Here's my hunch about us and about them. If we had that kind of baggage in our lives and knew that the odds seem insurmountable that things could ever change, we'd probably say to God, I hear you. I'm just not sure I believe it can be true in my life. I think it's because sometimes we can feel so weighted down with the past and the pain of the past and the struggles of the past that we wonder if we can ever let go of that so that we can move into a new future. I was in the airport and I was watching a woman check in ahead of me. She had two cute little children with her. And she went up to the counter and she had a massive suitcase. And I think she was trying to avoid the extra bag charge. And so she went up and she placed it on the scale. And sure enough, the attendant said, you're over the limit. And you could see the embarrassment and frustration on her face. And frankly, you could feel the frustration coming from all of us. You know, we're thinking things like, surely you knew this bag would be too heavy. You know, couldn't you weigh it before you come? Couldn't you put a bag in a bag? She had room for it so that you could just pull it out and be ready to go. But no, we're all going to have to stand here and wait for you and watch you. And we did. So in her frustration and embarrassment, she takes the bag down and she starts to unpack some things, set them to the side, zips it up, puts it back on, over the limit. And then she does it again. And a third time, and the kids are getting fidgety, and she's just turning red. And finally, she places it on the scale, and the attendant finally says the words that we're all waiting for, you're good to go. The woman smiles, but just for a minute. And then she looks down at the pile of the children's clothes and shoes and says to the attendant, but what about this stuff? I can't leave without that. And for the first time, the attendant, who was just matter of fact, you saw a glimmer of compassion, and she said, excuse me for just a minute. And so she disappeared for a couple of minutes. We all patiently waited. What choice did we have? And she came back, and then she leans over and says ever so quietly, just put everything in the bag and go. We were all so touched that that happened. I wonder if some of us aren't in that same situation, where we feel like, I've heard you, God, about the possibility of a new future and moving in new directions with you, but guess what? My life is over the limit. I'm carrying so much with me, God. I have negative emotions and pain and bitterness and anger that I have packed in my life. I have old dreams, old plans, old goals that I know I should let go of, but yet I have them packed in my life. I have old painful relationships, old painful voices that are still with me that I should let go of, but nope, God, they're packed in my life. I want to go with you to new places, but my life is over the limit. So I guess I'm stuck here. What we didn't hear in this passage that they needed to hear and we need to hear is this. In the verses preceding this, God says to them, I see you. I see all of you and your baggage. And here's what I want you to know. You are precious in my sight. So don't be afraid. I am with you. I think that's what allowed them to hear the words and receive the message that with God, you are never over the limit. In fact, sometimes I think we get it backwards. We think, you know what? I've got some unpacking to do in my life and to get things right so that I can begin this journey with God. But actually, the reverse is true. We begin the journey with God because God helps us get things right. Not right in the sense of perfect or everything's going to go so smoothly, but in the sense that God will help us know what is it we hold on to and what is it we need to let go of in our lives. And sometimes it's hard to know. In the passage, it has this promise that you're not over the limit. You can begin the journey right now. Where you are, who you are, whatever you've packed in your life, you can begin now. But get ready. Because when you begin this journey, then we'll begin to do some unpacking in your life. Did you notice the words that it said? It said, you can come. Let's go. It's ready for you. You're not over the limit. But once we begin the journey, know that you need to forget the former things. You need to forget what was because I am about to do a new thing in you. This is a theme that is replete in Scripture. It appears again and again about forgetting the former things so that we're prepared to move into a new reality, a new future. In fact, it occurs in the ministry of Jesus in one of the most, probably the most text that has the most twists and curves in it when this line comes. Here's the setting. It's in the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Jesus has been crucified, and Mary Magdalene is crushed. She's lost a friend. She's lost a teacher. She's lost the person upon whom she pinned all her hope. And now he's dead. And so she goes to the tomb to grieve his loss, to pay her respects. And so she arrives, and when she gets there, she sees that not only is he dead, but he's missing. The tomb's empty. And now she's utterly grieved. She doesn't even know where they put the body. And so she's sobbing and she turns and she sees Jesus, but she doesn't recognize Jesus. She thinks it's the gardener. And she asks, what have they done with the body of Jesus? And then Jesus says her name. He says, Mary. And in that moment, she recognizes that it's Jesus standing before her. Now, here's the twist. Here's the curve. Here's the thing you don't expect in this text. Jesus' next words are this. Don't hold on to me. Don't hold on to me. What does Jesus mean when she tells Mary, don't hold on to me? Aren't we supposed to hold on to Jesus? Isn't that supposed to be the center of our faith? I think this is what Jesus was saying to Mary and to us. Don't hold on to what was. Even with the resurrection and all the new possibilities that it creates, the one possibility that isn't possible is this, to go back to the way things were. So don't hold on to what was. And isn't that what we struggle with? Wanting to go back to the way things were. Even if they weren't great. Sometimes we just want to go back because we know it. We felt safe there. Even if it was sometimes ugly, at least we knew what to expect. We don't like the unexpected. But yet, we can never go back to the way it was. It's impossible. I had this privilege of walking alongside of a person who was at a point of struggle in her life. She had done very well in the corporate world and risen high. But unfortunately, she got associated with a scandal, and she lost her job. And soon after, she lost her marriage. And all she wanted was to get back to the top. She remembered what it was like and what it was to be on the top. And so she struggled and she strived and she did everything she could to try to get to the top again and be that person that people would respect. But she just couldn't do it. And she became bitter and angry. And at the point I got to walk with her is when she discovered faith. And it's in her faith that she decided, you know what? I can't go back to what was. I have to open myself to what could be, whatever that is. And that was the most freeing moment in her life. Sylvia Robinson said, and she is the mother of hip-hop, was the mother of hip-hop. Yep, Sugar Hill. She said this, some think that it's holding on that gives you strength. Sometimes it's letting go. And that's what she realized in her life. It's hard for us to know when to hold on and when to let go. But we do have to let go and prune some things from our lives at times. I was speaking with Barbara Crafton, a pastor and teacher here. She does a wonderful job. And it was a conversation we had as part of the series we're doing on Sundays called Press Pause. And it will come out this week, by the way. I encourage you to listen to it because she has such nuggets of insight there. But here's one of the things she said she's a gardener. And one of the things you have to do in gardening, if you want the plants to flourish and grow to their potential, is you have to prune them. And sometimes it's pruning the dead branches. That's the easy part. But it's hard to understand why you have to prune, at times, the good branches. And it's because they redirect the energy in the wrong place. And so the energy needs to come back to the center. And so for all of us, we need to stop and do some pruning in our life, some letting go. And sometimes it's the easy stuff, the stuff we know is painful and we need to let go. But sometimes we're pulled in so many directions, sometimes by good things, we need to give a strategic no and say, you know what, it's good, but it's pulling me in the wrong direction. And I'll never grow into who God wants me to be until I start letting go of some of these things and do a little pruning. So I'll say this to you. Wherever you are and whoever you are, know that you are not over the limit to begin the journey with God, and you are not over the limit if you need to restart the journey with God. And if you'll begin that journey for the first time or again, God will help you know, help us know, what to hold on to and what to let go of. Please pray with me. O God of love and grace and forgiveness and direction, it's not always easy to know what our direction is and how to get there and what to hold on to get there and what to let go of to get there. All we can do is open our lives to you in this moment and trust you that you will show us the way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.